That's right. When you read it, you're going to see why.
Amen. While you're turning, I want to welcome our online church, our Facebook supporters, our YouTube supporters, our podcast supporters. We thank and praise God for you, and we pray that this word will bless you. Jude chapter 1, verse 9. Amen. Jude chapter 1, verse 9. The Bible says, "Yet Michael the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, durst not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, the Lord rebuke thee." Okay? Now I want you to turn to Deuteronomy chapter 34. Go all the way back to the beginning of your Bible. And I want you to turn to Deuteronomy chapter 34. We're going to look at something here regarding the life of Moses. Deuteronomy chapter 34, that's right before Joshua. Okay? Deuteronomy means the law restated. Many times before God moves you into a new place, he takes you back and reminds you of what you come from, so you're going to act brand new when you get there.
Come on, somebody.
So that's what Deuteronomy is all about. In Deuteronomy, you're going to see a lot of words that God gave Moses repeated. Because sometimes you need that. You move into new seasons, new territory, and you develop amnesia. You forget when the warfare hits you. So that's why we have the book of Deuteronomy, the law twice restated, over a reminder. Amen. Deuteronomy chapter 34. And I'm going to begin reading at verse 1. Deuteronomy 34, verse 1. The Bible says, "And Moses went up from the plains of Moab unto the mountains of Nebo to the top of Pisgah that is over against Jericho. And the Lord showed him all the land of Gilead unto Dan, and all of Naphtali, and the land of Ephraim, and Manasseh, and all the land of Judah, unto the utmost sea. And on the south, in the plain of the valley of Jericho, the city of palm trees unto Zoar," verse 4. "And the Lord said unto him, this is the land which I swear unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob, saying, I will give it unto thy seed. I have caused you to see it with your eyes, but you will not go over thither." Yeah, my God. Verse 5. "So Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in the land of Moab, according to the word of the Lord. And he buried him in a valley in the land of Moab over against Beth Peor, but no man knoweth of his sepulchre unto this day. And Moses was 120 years old when he died. His eye was not dim, nor his natural force abated," or he kept his physical strength. "And the children mourned for 30 days. Father, we bless you and glorify you and love you and adore you and appreciate you for the written word, God. We thank you, Lord God, for the ability to feast upon this word for this sacred hour. God, we just ask, Father, for forgiveness of our sins of omission, sins of commission, Lord God, thoughts of our heart that were contrary to the principles and constitution of the kingdom, God, anything that the enemy may use as a license against us, God. Father, we just break it right now. We revoke the license of the enemy against our life, God. And Father, we bless you for the authority that Jesus Christ gave over the enemy, Father. So God, as we endeavor to go forth into this word, Father, release a teaching anointing, Lord God, release revelation even above and beyond that which you have spoken to me on this past week. But God, take us into a place where you can meet your people, Lord God, where you can dine with them, where you can feast with them, be intimate with them, God, and show them, Father, what you would have for them to understand as a result of this word. Now God, as we go forth, we arrest wandering minds, wandering spirits. We come against every buzzard, God, evil, wicked bird, filthy bird, God, in the atmosphere that will try to come and snatch the seed before it has a chance to be planted. God, let this word go down into their spirit, man. Like David said, let it hide in their heart that it may not sin against you. And we glorify you for that finished work in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
So if I would have to take a topic for you today, I want to talk to you a little bit from the topic, the accuser of the brethren. Now, let me just forewarn you and just throw a disclaimer out there. This is probably not going to be one of those shout and make you feel good and messages. It may make you just cringe a little bit, but it's okay. There are some things that I think you and I and the body of Christ corporately need to understand as it pertains to the depth of the believing one. And it's a morbid subject, but you need to know. Praise God. Y'all want to hear how you feel good now? God loves you. But you need to know when God comes to call you home, what can happen. Amen. So I want you to go back to the book of Jude for a moment as I read into your hearing Deuteronomy chapter 34. Because in order for you to understand what happened in Jude chapter 1 verse 9, you need to know what happened in Deuteronomy chapter 34. So to give you context, we know that Moses was the servant of the Lord. And God had promised Moses great things. Moses went before the glory of God. Moses spent time on the mountaintop. Moses spent so much time in the presence of God that the glory of God reflected from his face, and that was so strong it blinded people.
Yeah.
And so God told Moses to veil your God told Moses to veil your face because you got too much glory. People can't stand to be around that much glory. So I want you to understand that, that Moses was not your ordinary person. Moses was somebody who walked with Jesus, and Moses was the one who heard from God. As a matter of fact, it took it was Moses who was the conduit when God took his hand and made the Ten Commandments. Moses provided the stones, but God wrote the laws. And so this is something. Moses was not just your ordinary person. And I need to build that case, first of all. I need you to understand that Moses was not your ordinary person. The Bible said there was not a greater man who lived than Moses. But I want you to understand, as much as God loved Moses and as much as God had required at Moses' hand, Moses was not a perfect man. Hello, somebody. It doesn't matter how long you've been saved or how long you've been preaching or what God has called you to do, we still have areas in our life where we need the grace of God. We still have areas in our life where we can be provoked. Amen. And we can act out of character. And it doesn't mean that I'm not called by God. It doesn't mean that God can't use me. I'm just having a season. So you got to understand that even as people of God, called of God, you will have moments of crazy in your life.
Yes.
And so with the work that God called Moses to do, amen, you got to understand sometimes what people go through. When you have a sobering assignment, a heavy assignment, there comes a grace that has to accompany you because you can buckle under the pressure. Amen. And so when you look at Moses and we say, oh, Moses missed the promised land. Oh, but who do you know led over 2 million people and stood in front of Pharaoh? Who do you know that a crack opened the Red Sea? Who do you know that called 10 plagues down? So can we give the man, amen, can we give him permission to be human? Oh, God. So you have to allow people, no matter what they're called to do and what their assignment is, they will experience moments when they buckle under pressure. And so Moses was such a man, and many of you should know the story of Moses and the times that he provoked God and he made God angry. And it wasn't so much that Moses wanted to provoke God. The people got on his nerves, praise God. Amen. They became ungrateful. And you know how it is. You love God when he's bringing you out, but then when you get out, praise God, you act brand new and you forget about the bonds of Egypt. You forget about the times you was bound in slavery. You forget about the times you wanted to come to God and God didn't want you back. Amen. You forget about the goodness of God. You forget about the times when you could think right.
My God.
So many times we get breakthroughs and we forget the God who broke us through.
Yes.
And so this is what happened when Israel coming out of Egypt. God had done all these phenomenal things. They were so bound they couldn't even worship God. Amen. The man of Gadara, he wanted to worship God and he couldn't because the demons refrained him. And it took Jesus to get out the boat. And listen, his desire to praise God, even though he was bound up, giving somebody, but he was so bound, chains couldn't hold him. But in the midst of all that demonic bondage, he was a worshiper. I can't get nobody from nothing. And so it's us. You know, we have a tendency to look down on folk in their stuff. But if you look through the eyes of God, beyond the cracker, beyond the cigarette, beyond the drug, there's a worshiper. And that's the same for Jesus, oh God. Wait for Jesus to show up. Glory to God.
Preach it.
Someone said there's a worshiper in me.
Worshiper.
I may act crazy, but there's a worshiper in me.
Yes.
I may curse you out a few times, but there's a worshiper in me.
Yes, Lord.
So we have to give Moses permission to act out of character. Amen. God bless you coming in. We're in June 1 and 9. God bless you. So you got to give Moses permission to be human. But even on top of that, the Bible says to whom much is given, much is required. And God said, Moses, I'll give you permission to have an attitude for a few days. But there are certain things I just will not allow for you. I won't allow it. And so it came to a point where the Israelites wanted water and they mumbled and they complained. And if they got on God's nerves, you know they got on Moses' nerves. And it came to one point that God told Moses, what you going to do with those people? God, Moses said, these are your people. And God and Moses began to argue, praise God. I didn't ask for this. He said, your people, Mo. God said, no, Moses, no, no, your people. God wanted to kill them. Amen. That's why I'm angry.
Jesus.
So when you look at Moses, and you got to understand the warfare, and I'm going to get there in a little bit, but when you look at the warfare surrounding Moses' life, you got to understand that Moses had an assignment that no human man could withstand without making some mistake.
This is so good.
And it bugs me and it nags me and it irritates me sometimes when we look at people in positions and you expect them to be flawless. You expect them to carry the weight. You expect them to go before God. You expect them to be some kind of use for you, but you can't make no mistake. Moses made some mistakes. And he went and hit the rock. The Lord told him to speak to the rock, but he was so angry that he smoked the rock. And so I can get into a whole lot deeper than that, but that ain't where I'm going, praise God. But he smoked the rock and then he called the people out of their name. And he angered the Lord because what he did was he misrepresented who God was to the people.
Jesus.
Oh, God.
Jesus.
Sometimes I'm going to go because Holy Ghost is telling me to go. Sometimes just because you're angry with a person does not mean that God is angry with the person.
Yes.
And so you have to be careful not to misrepresent the grace of God. Or be careful not to frustrate. Well, God is angry. No, you're angry.
Right.
So you have to be careful. And so Moses misrepresented the grace of God. And so as a result of that, he could not make it into the promised land because there are certain attitudes. And Tina said a word last night, well, it was on point.
Yes.
You wonder why some people can't go to the next season.
Yes.
And it doesn't mean that they're not saved. It doesn't mean that they're not called. It doesn't mean that God doesn't love them. It's just that you don't have what it takes to get there. And when Moses, when he made that mistake as a leader and having been that type of representative to the people of God, God said, I cannot allow you to go into Canaan like that. And there are a lot of people who have been abandoned and left in the wilderness because they could not learn the principles of what it takes to get to the next season. So God, in Deuteronomy 34, I'll turn back here, Deuteronomy 34, the Lord has this conversation with Moses. Still talking about the accuser of the brother, because Dr. Tracy talked about some things in Sunday school. I'm telling you, the prophetic wasn't all over her. She just had no idea. She was just rolling over in prophetic oil this morning. Praise God. But as Moses was governing, Satan was watching.
Jesus.
As he was governing, Satan was watching. And the Bible calls him the accuser of the brethren. He always stands at your side to watch you and to monitor you and to accuse you before the Father because his place, amen, he had lost his place. He lost his first estate. And he know he will never climb back in the graces of God again. So it's his job to keep you from getting there. So as Moses is governing, the enemy is watching. And as the enemy is watching, God is watching.
Come on now.
Follow me closely. In Deuteronomy 34, here's something. This is, just follow me. The Bible said, at the bottom of verse 4, I'm going to give this to your seed. I'll cause you to see it with your eyes, but you shall not go over there. Now, what God is saying is, son, you're not going to inherit the promise.
Right.
I'm going to let you see it so you know that I cannot lie, but God, I cannot lie. So I'm going to let you see this. But you're not going to go over there. I'm going to let somebody else take the people over there. And then in verse 5, catch this. At the bottom of verse 4, you're not going to the next level. But verse 5, Moses, the servant of God. Did you catch that?
Yeah.
Even though he fell short, God could not deny his service in the kingdom.
Yes.
Come on, somebody. Because
yes.
We like to throw folk away. And God said, I cannot deny the service. So the Bible says, Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in the land of Moab. Now, I need to catch up with something here. God took one commentary, I think some Jewish, I don't know, said that God kissed Moses and took his breath. It was no disease that took Moses' life. Because the Bible says his eyes were not dim, neither was his physical force weakened. His physical, listen, if the Bible tells you he climbed up a mountain, at 120 years old, come on now.
Yes. Come on, make it fun.
Honey, I can't climb no mountain. I ain't nowhere near.
Oh my goodness.
But I need you to understand something, because Moses died. No, yeah, Moses died, but you got to look at the circumstances surrounding his. God took his life.
Yes, come on.
He took his life. His cancer or no other sickness took Moses' life. God took his life.
Jesus.
Because why? It was time for the children of Israel to cross over. Okay, so God took his life, but I want you to pay attention to how God did this.
So good.
Oh my God. And you have to understand, the enemy was watching the whole thing. Yes. I'm going to set this up for you in just a minute. Died there according to the word of the Lord. And God buried Moses. So here you have Moses and God having this intimate conversation, and God is telling him, son, I'm going to show you everything because I've got to let you know my word is true. I cannot lie. This is what's getting ready to happen. Now, you won't experience it, but before you close your eyes to this life, I want you to know in your knowing that I'm going to bring it to pass. Now it's time for you to come along with me.
My God.
And so God takes his life, and God buries him. The Bible said, so that no one would know where his body was. Now, God did that for many reasons. Number one, because Moses was such a beloved leader. Even though people got on his nerves, it was Moses. Moses talked to God for me. Moses, give me some water. You know, they lived their life off of Moses.
And so God said, now, if I allow Moses to die in the camp, the people's fear and grief will immobilize them from moving forward.
Jesus.
In other words, you know, because there were already people that were dealing with some things, praise God. And now you mean to tell me we're in the woods and Moses dropped dead? Lord, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? And so they God knew that if I allowed Moses to die right here around Joshua and all the elders, that their grief would immobilize them.
My God.
And so God said, here's what I'm going to do, Moses. I'm going to pull you up to the mountain, have conversation with you, and I'm going to bury you here because I don't want nobody to make an idol out of you. I don't want them to make a shrine around you. I need them to acknowledge that you're gone, but I need them to move forward.
My God.
Woo, God.
Is right.
So there's some seasons in your life that you can't move forward until some people are moved out of your way. And so that's why God told him, you've been weeping long enough. He told Samuel, why are you still crying after Saul? I've already ordained somebody for the next season. I already have the next king of Israel. I need you to quit crying over Saul. Some of us had a grieving over people, over relationships. And God has already said, now here you can do one of two things. You can stay with them and be stuck, or you can accept the release and you can move forward.
My God.
When you understand the laws that govern the universe, and you understand that we are spiritual beings having a physical or natural earthly experience,
even Satan understands that.
And what Satan understands is that when our natural bodies die, it has to return to the earth. We came from the earth. You got to go back. Okay? So Satan is waiting for this law to be put in place. He's waiting for God to obey his word.
Jesus, come on, somebody.
Some of y'all didn't eat breakfast and you're catching this too slow. Satan was waiting because the laws of nature govern, right? What comes from the earth has to go back to the earth. Jesus, the Father in the beginning, formed us from the earth, from dust, and he said, and to dust you will return.
Yes.
That's God's word.
Yes.
He said, my word is forever settled,
yes.
Right? And so Satan knows that. So now Satan is sitting back watching because he'd already monitored Moses' life from the beginning. Hello, somebody.
Yes, yes.
Oh, y'all like brand new. And when somebody give you a prophetic word, I don't know how they knew, because that familiar spirit that was monitoring you told that false prophet and that he was giving them $30 and that $30 belonged in your own house.
Come on!
I can't believe they told me everything. Nobody knew. Yeah, somebody knew. That demon that was following you all of your life. Satan followed Moses from the time his mother impregnated him.
Yes.
And orchestrated laws to have him killed, and it didn't work.
It didn't work. Come on,
right. It didn't work. So he monitored him, and he caused Moses to lead a leadership of frustration so that Moses himself would forfeit the work. Because God's not going to change his mind about you. But it's the enemy's job to frustrate you so much that you say, that's it. I don't want it. Shut the church. Seven people go home. I'm done. So Satan monitored. He even put people in Moses' life to frustrate him. Korah and Dathan frustrated Moses. They frustrated him so much to where hell, amen, it wasn't even time for hell to open up like that. My God, these people are so wicked. They caused hell to open up before it's time. The Bible says, Moses said, whoever is on the Lord's side, come stand over here by me. And when Korah and Dathan stood to the left, the ground opened up and hell fire swallowed them. That's why I tell y'all, those of you that think you gotta defend who you are, you don't have to defend who you are.
Right.
Earth will fight for you, honey.
Oh.
So Satan monitored Moses' life, even to the point of Moses' death. And God knew it. And so God said, here's what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna, Moses, I can't let you just die anywhere. Because there's power even in your death, and I'm gonna show you that in a minute. So I'm gonna take you up here, and this is gonna be between me and you. Even the devil can't come in this place. And I'm going to bring you up here in my presence. And I'm going to take your life. And I'm going to bury you. And where I bury you, nobody will be able to find you. Now, there's a reason why God did that. Because in the natural order of death, when you leave this earth, your body goes back to the ground. Your spirit goes back to the Father. Being absent in the body, present with the Lord. That's what happens. But with Moses, God was doing something different. And he did the same thing with Elijah. Elijah's body wasn't buried either.
Yes,
Elijah knew it was his time to go. And Elijah tried to get up. He tried to avoid Elisha because this was going to be a personal exchange. Elijah was ready to go. Moses wasn't so much, but Elijah was ready to go. And so what did Elijah do? Elijah, the life that he lived, the Lord sent a fiery chest in a limousine service.
My God!
Come on. You got a personal and escorted him. So people say, well, I don't see the rapture in the Bible. The rapture had already occurred twice in the Old Testament. Moses and Elijah.
Jesus.
How do you know, Pastor? Well, when Jesus was on the Mount of Transfiguration and he could only take three apostles with him because the rest of them wasn't ready for that level, next level revelation. Hello, somebody. When he got up on the Mount of Transfiguration, Jesus ascended. Jesus transformed into his God, his glorious form. The Bible says countenance was white, shone like glory. And they heard two voices. And these were the voices of Moses. Lord.
Ah!
And Elijah.
Oh, my God.
My God. Whose bodies had not touched corruption. God shielded them from death, hell, and the grave. Because he preserved them. And in Revelation, the Bible calls them the two olive sticks. And they're still coming back to witness and testify to the glory of God and the power of the risen Christ. Oh. Can we just give God a praise right there? All right. So, God had a work for Moses. And he could not allow his body to be corrupted in the ground. So he hid Moses' body. Same thing with Elijah. Amen. But when you get to Jude, you find in Jude chapter 1 verse 9, here comes Satan arguing. He did the same thing with Job. Does Job worship you for nothing? I bet if you take this away from him, he'll stop worshiping you. God said, go ahead. Go ahead, take his house, take his wife, take his kid, take it all. I'm going to give it back to him. I'm the one who gave it to him in the first place. That's what those of us are so afraid to give up. So if God is requiring something, you better know he's coming back better. Do you hear what I said? If God requires you to give up something, he's coming back better. So let it go. So Satan went in the presence of God to accuse Job. Why he's so blessed? Why are you doing this for him? Because why you got this hedge around him? Because Satan had hated Job so much, he had already tried to get in, and he said, you got a hedge around him, I can't even get in. Job's life, because of the life of righteousness, he was surrounded by a wall of angels. And so every time the enemy tried to get in and infect him and interrupt him, the angel's like, you better back up. He's covered. And so Satan tells God, he said, I was trying to get him. I've been after Job for a long time, watching his life. I've been after him, his family, his kids and stuff, and I can't get to him. And look at him. And this is what he's telling God. And you know he's only worshiping you because of what you gave him. God said, I'll tell you what I do. I'll move the hedge. I'll call my angels back up by 25 feet.
My God.
Y'all chill out. Give him my 6 weeks. Just chill. And you can touch everything he has. Because I already know what I'm about to do for him. I already know he's going to come through this. I already have the kids in mind. I got the people. It's already a done deal. Praise God. So when we get to Jude, we find Satan still operating in this accusation spirit. And this is where you have to watch yourself even as a believer. Because even believers can operate in an antichrist spirit. Dr. Tracy talked about it. They watch you waiting for you to make a mistake.
Yep.
That's an accusation spirit. The Hebrew for Satan is Ha Satan or Ha Satan, and it means the Satan or the adversary or the accuser. And his job is to watch your life and see what you're going to do. And then when you do something wrong, you're talking about somebody who would tell it. God, why are you going to do that for the kid? I saw her at work. She wasn't operating the Holy Ghost. She didn't pray over her salad. He will stand about at your right hand.
Yes.
And to monitor you, and wait for you to make a mistake and run back and tell it. Why? So God can remove the favor off your life. So God can shut down the things that he has put on the inside of you. Always looking for an area to attack you. Even Jesus says, Satan coming for me, but he can't find nothing in me.
Jesus.
Come on, somebody. He can't find nothing in me. And so so you might ask yourself, well, how, and I know I'm a hot mess, Monday through Monday. How do I deal with this?
Yes.
Because I know the enemy is monitoring me. I know he's looking to accuse me. How do I deal with this? And I'm going to tell you how you deal with it. You learn how to live a life of repentance.
Yes.
You learn how to live a life of, Father, I'm sorry. Father, forgive me. You know, the difference between David and Saul, both kings.
Yep.
All right? But the difference was when Saul messed up, oh, it's the people. It's the people. David say, it's me. Have mercy on me, oh God. Don't take your Holy Spirit. Don't take your Holy Spirit. Watch me, God. I know I'm a hot mess. I know I still got a little bit of stuff in me that God is fighting against my destiny. But God, I lay myself on the altar sacrifice. It ain't nobody. John P. said, it ain't my mama, it ain't my daddy. But it's me, oh Lord. And so what we do, we bring everybody else and put them on the altar and you stand my stuff in the fire. God said, how about you give them a break? Give them a holiday. And you crawl down and let me burn you up. So there's a difference when you act as if you can do no wrong. Well, bless the seed in Jesus' name. I said, what I'm doing is I'm going to. Praise God. Bless the seed in Jesus' name. There's a difference between, because the Bible said we all sin and come short. The Bible said, if a man says he has no sin, he is a liar and the truth is not in you.
Yes.
You're going to do something crazy. Some of y'all thinking crazy right now.
Yes.
You're going to do crazy in about an hour. You get to work, you won't show up too crazy. So, but the thing about it is acknowledging. The Bible says if you confess your faults, God is faithful and just to forgive you and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. So you must incorporate repentance in your prayer. When you're asking God to bless you with your house or your car or your food, and God on top of all of that, I come upon you. I humble myself. God, I don't know how I have received you, but I'm sure I did something because I've been knowing me for a long time. I'm capable of messing up. I've been messing up. I got a doctrine in messing up. I'm so messed up it takes you to clean me up. Help me, oh God. Have mercy, oh God. This poor man cried and God heard me and he delivered me from all of my fears. Because we love to run to God. God, this one, did you see? Did you see that one, Jesus? And when you do that, you operate in an antichrist spirit. Accusing people. That's not the spirit of God. So, David wasn't perfect, but David had a heart. David knew how to get to God. Amen. Even we talked about Peter and Judas. Both of them were apostles. Both of them were called. But Judas' heart would not repent. Judas' heart was hard. Judas' heart was filled with greed and idolatry and betrayal. Whereas Peter, yeah, he was a hot mess. But Peter, the Bible said when the cock crowed the third time, Peter's heart was cut. And the words that Jesus said, it came back to him and said, yes, I. And the Bible said he was so distraught, he just walked away. You know, there's something about when you know you hurt God's heart.
Yeah.
Or you hurt your leader's heart or your people's heart. To when you just don't show up for a place and Lord, everybody pray. I got a word. No, sit yourself down and humble yourself. Because Satan is going to use that thing against you. Satan followed Moses all the way to the grave. All the way to the grave. And he was waiting on the unconfessed sins because at that time, Jesus had not come in the flesh. Now, we see throughout the Old Testament theophanies or Christophanies when Jesus appeared and the Bible called him the angel of the Lord. It means the face of the Lord or the representative of the Lord. And even I think it's in Samuel where the Bible talks about the showbread, the 12 showbread. Those are all the faces of God. The faces of Jesus. But because it had not been Jesus' time to manifest, he came in different forms. When Joshua was battling over Moses, the Lord appeared to Bob to the captain of the army of the host of the Lord. It was Jesus. But he could not come as Jesus because it wasn't his time to be manifested in the flesh. But he showed up as a captain. Hey, my God. He showed up as a burning bush. He showed up as man of Sheba. He showed up as man of heaven. Himself in forms to disguise himself so the enemy will not come at him before his face. So the only way that people could be redeemed, amen, not even of their sins, but the only way they could be in right standing with God was to give sacrifices to the priest. And so Moses didn't have the blood of Jesus like you and I have. And so his sins followed him to the grave. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 27. I want to show you something very powerful. Matthew chapter 27. As you turn it, let me just give it to you for the sake of time. The Bible said when Jesus cried out with a loud voice, he gave up the ghost. Immediately. Listen to me. Immediately. Why? Because according to the laws of nature, his dead body was supposed to go down into the earth. Come on, somebody. For the Bible, I think it was David who prophesied and said, God will not allow the Holy One to suffer corruption. And so, oh God, oh shit, down that was. So what Jesus did, he went down to the lowermost parts of the earth, but he did not go to stay. That's how Mary found his garments, amen. They were folded neatly, praise God. Because he said, I'm not here to stay, amen. I'm in the grave, but I'm going beyond the grave. Because I've got to unlock the captives who didn't have the blood of Jesus. I've got to unlock those who died having faith, but did not see the promise. And so the Bible says that when Jesus died, when his righteous blood hit the ground, the earth broke open. Jesus. There was a great earthquake, and the Bible said the graves opened, Jesus, and the righteous in God begin to awake out of their sleep. And you know, when the blood hit, that righteous blood was so holy, that the earth and all God, this holy blood, and recognized this is the one who made me. Earth said, this is the one who formed me. This is the one who told the waters to part. Let earth come up. And earth was so afraid of the blood, it began to separate. You can imagine war under the ground. They said, it's holy. Oh my God. When the blood of Abel, if that blood cried up, what you think about the the earth testified and said, God, there's some righteous blood. Hey, don't hold up my heart. When you understand earth, it's God's creation too. When you understand earth, it's responsible. That's why I tell folk, earth is rebelling against the inhabitants of the earth. Earth is sick of our wickedness. You think floods, you think tornadoes, and the earth is saved. Give us 10 minutes, God, to avenge ourselves. Even with their Sodom and Gomorrah, it was the earth was tired of their sin. The Bible said, God said there's a testimony coming up on the earth. The trees are talking about you. The birds are talking about you. They're tired of sin. And God said, I must go down. I gotta investigate what earth is saying. Hallelujah. So when Jesus' righteous blood hit the earth, earth responded and began to cough up and let go of the dead in faith. Not in Christ, but those who died in faith. Hebrews tells you all about that. Those who died in faith never saw the promise of God, but yet believed God. But because they didn't have Jesus. See, when we leave this earth, when your loved ones in faith have left this earth, amen, the Bible says absent from the body, present with the Lord. That's a part of the New Testament covenant. Amen. But it had not always been so. Amen. Before Christ, when the righteous died, it just died. And they would fall asleep. But they would wait for the great hope. They would wait for the resurrection. When immortality would put on immortality. When mortality would put on immortality. When they can wake out of the cancers or whatever it was that took their life. And they can rise up to glory. When the glory flies fresh. They didn't have that in the Old Testament days. So that's why when Jesus' blood hit the earth, those dead in faith said, oh, something is happening. My redemption draws nigh. The Bible said he went down to the lowest. Before he ascended, he first descended. And he went down to the lowest part of the earth. And he took the keys from death, hell, and the grave. He set captivity free. Those who are held, not in hell, but held in the grave, begin to wake up, the Bible said. But listen, it wasn't until Jesus unlocked the door, they woke up. But when he went to glory, the Bible said they got up out the grave. And they walk around the streets of Jerusalem and they appear to many.
My God, my God.
So Mark Satan knew that if I can get you to just sin all the way to death, there remains no more hope for you.
My God.
If I can get you to think that you're all right. And you don't have to ask God to forgive you. You don't have to ask God to cleanse you. Well, you know, all my sins are under the sea of forgiveness. God said, I cast them in the sea and remember them no more. But you're still sinning. And so Satan understood that. He understood that Moses killed an Egyptian. Where's his body? He belongs down here with me. Moses struck the rod, and God, you told him to speak to it. He's disobedient. He's rebellious. He belongs with me. Where's his body? I need to claim his body. I need to claim his body to hell. And he began to argue. And the Bible said, Michael, the archangel, the prince of Egypt, prince of Israel, they argued because Satan wanted to know, where is Moses' body? I know where David is. I know where Jonathan. Where is Moses' body? Because he died. He died. And he didn't have the blood of Jesus to cover him. He belongs here with me. But the Bible said, the Lord, John, Jude, for Michael, the archangel, the Bible said, went contending as the devil was disputing about that body. He said he did not bring him back. He didn't accuse him back. He just rebuked him and said, the Lord rebuke you. In other words, what Archangel Michael said, he said, listen, this knowledge right here is too wonderful for you. Don't you think for a moment, praise God, that God's going to leave this Holy One to suffer corruption. That's why God hid it from you in the first place. Because you are the accuser. Yeah, you monitor, you roam up and to and fro in the earth, seeking whom you may devour. But God preserved you from this one. Moses wasn't perfect, but God buried him. God made up his deathbed. And God reconciled those sins. Even though it was before time, God made a way. It's important to live a life of repentance. But there's something you all so must understand. That there are clouds of witnesses who will monitor your life. The Bible said when Lazarus died, people gathered around the tomb. Do you not know there's always a gathering at death? I didn't say at the funeral. When Jesus was born, there was a gathering. As soon as Moses was born, there was a gathering. There will be spirits, my God, that are monitoring certain transactions that take place. Don't nobody care about your new car. Devil don't care about your new car. The devil don't care about your house. I know you love it. You're waiting for it, but that ain't enough. No. He's in the business of harvesting souls. That's his job. What you doing, Satan? Walking to and fro in the earth, up and down, and seeking whom I may devour. And so there's spiritual transactions that happens in the Word of God. When Adam and Eve were first placed in the garden, there was a visitor there. Don't take it strange. Don't think it's strange when you feel somebody watching you and you turn around and you don't see nobody. Or you see shadows and things move. Or you hear certain things and you know you're by yourself. Don't take it. They are spirits. I'm not trying to scare you. I'm trying to inform you. That are minding waiting for you to mess up and hoping you never come to the knowledge of the truth. So you carry that thing to your grave. And at the time when your dead earthly life departs, that demon will escort you.
Say, my God, Jesus.
The angels guarded Moses. God would even tell Joshua where Moses' body was. There's some mysteries you'll never get the answer to. The Bible said, such knowledge is too wonderful for me. I can't even attain unto it. There's some things you can't know. Some things you're not supposed to know. Some knowledges you get will make you open prey for the enemy to attack you and kill you before your time. And this is why Daniel, God gave Daniel so much wisdom and poured out so much revelation. Daniel saw things, my God, things that we're seeing right now take place on earth. Daniel saw, and he said, Daniel, close the book, son. Don't tell nobody. That's why he said God tells the secrets to his servants, the prophets. They are secret. It's not for everybody. Elder Michael, God had revealed something to him on the job. He didn't know whether he should tell or what. And God said, it's a secret. Just hold it. You got to be comfortable holding some things. And so when we talk about these transactions, we think about Lazarus, his life. His sister said, he's getting ready to die. Somebody go get Jesus. The death angels were already in place. And it depends on you which camp those death angels come from. It depends. When Korah and Dathan sinned, it wasn't Michael and Gabriel escorting them. These were death angels. Angels that work on assignment and pull them down. The Bible said, pull them down. My God. I don't say no preaching thing, but let me wake you up to righteousness. Make sure the Bible says don't let the sun go down your wrath. I don't care who wronged you. I don't care who righted you. I don't care who ain't paying no attention to you. You make sure before you close your eyes to this life, Father, I ask you to forgive me. When you ask God to forgive you and you plead the blood of Jesus, and you plead the blood, the Bible says, even though Israel was in Goshen, Goshen symbolizes the place of protection, but they could still hear the cries. They could still hear the cries of the firstborns as it was dropping dead when God visited Egypt with death. And the only way, listen, even though they were in Goshen, even though they were in church, even though they were around the saints, you must have the blood of Jesus on your doorpost. It's not enough for you to be a member of a church.
Come on.
It's not enough for you to have a title. Jesus. Are you covered under the blood? Does the blood want to cover you?
Oh, Jesus.
Plead the blood. I plead the blood of Jesus over my life. Against any enemies, foreign and domestic. Against monitoring spirits, tracking spirits, familiar spirits. God, keep me under the blood. And you pray that every day, several times a day, if God moves you by the Spirit. Because without that, you're open target. You must. Without the blood, there's no permission to sin. Your cuteness and your goodness ain't good enough. If God can't see you through Jesus, he don't acknowledge you at all. You must. Jesus said, if any man come up by any other way, the same is as a thief and a robber. Jesus is the way. And so when Jesus gave up, that's why, listen, that's why he kept trying to kill him. Don't you know we have the power? He said, no, you don't have the power to kill me. I have the power. I have the power to lay my life down and pick it up again. Because he knew there's a certain time that I've got to give up my life because there's a work that happens under the ground that I must prepare for. It ain't just about me dying and sitting at the right hand of the Father. Before he ascended, he first descended.
Yes, he did.
There was work in the grave. God had to honor the promises that I will not allow you to suffer corruption in the ground. I will raise you up. And that was the first resurrection. Jesus took those people back to glory with him. He told that man, the other thief, he said, listen, he said, today you will be with me in paradise. He said, listen, I know why I'm here. I did steal. I did rob. I know I'm a sinner. But you don't have no business to be here, man. You innocent. But, you know, if you can save me, if you see it in your will. And he said, yeah, I'm willing. Yes, I'm willing. And he saved him. And guess what? When that man gave up the ghost, yeah, they took his body down and put it in the ground. But when Jesus gave up his, that body got right back up. And began to walk around and testify. He is the resurrection. He is the power. He is the Christ. So getting back to Moses. God said, I need to take you someplace on a journey. Because what I'm about to do, I can't allow anybody to interfere with this. I'm going to bury you. The Bible says nobody knows where his sepulcher was. God hid him and God preserved him. And he preserved him until the time to when Jesus was on the Mount of Transfiguration. And it said, we see Moses and Elijah, the two men who were never buried. So if you see that with Moses and Elijah, can you see that about you? Can you see that about you? Do you understand that the Lord takes delight when you finish your works and say, this is my servant, this is my son, this is my daughter. He said, you have done well. Enter into my rest. It's a delight. Yeah, the earthly people are going to grieve because we're going to miss our loved ones. But if you could just see what's happening in glory and how even at death, and I've seen this even with someone very close to me, I saw it with my own eyes. I saw how death angels were arguing. Not death, hell's angels were all Satan around his camp, were arguing. And I saw a war taking place. I could hear the swords clashing, clashing. And the Lord told me, pray, pray. And it was my prayers. I need to tell somebody this. There's some of you that have lost some loved ones. And you never seen them go to church. You never seen them tithe. You never seen them baptized and even speak in tongues. But you prayed. And at the moment that that transaction was, an eternity transaction was about to take place, there was war. There was war. Because your prayers were interceding on behalf of that person that couldn't pray for themselves. Come on, somebody. That's why Paul said to the church of Thessalonica, he said, you grieve and you sorrow like those that have no hope. In other words, do you not know the efficacy of your own prayers? You don't know what can happen to you. They just died. But you don't know what can happen in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. You have no idea what God can do. I can imagine the woman, the mother, and I say this often because God gave me the revelation and blew my mind. The woman whose son was on that cross said, Lord, I know it's right now. It's probably too far gone. Come on, somebody.
Yep, yep.
They on the incubator. They on the, there's no way they can't respond. They can't do nothing. So I don't even know how you can do this, God. But if there's any way, if there's any way, God, in a split moment of time when you are the author of time, before that eternal decision is made, can my prayer, God, intercede?
My God.
Like Abraham said, peradventure. Peradventure. My God. The death angels, thank you, Lord, were on the way to Sodom and Gomorrah. God had predetermined in his mind, I'm going to kill them. The whole, I'm taking the whole county, the whole nation, I'm taking them all out. Bless you, woman of God, thank you for coming. I'm taking the whole nation out. But what did God do? He stopped by Abraham's house. Come on, somebody. You wonder why God wake you up in the middle of the night and this certain person you ain't talked to.
Hey.
I don't know why I feel so-and-so in my spirit. I dreamed about so-and-so. God, before he went to Sodom and Gomorrah, he stopped by Abraham's house. He said, son, friend. Ooh, you better be God's friend.
Yes.
You better be God's friend. God's friends get benefits.
Yes, Lord.
Come on, somebody.
Come on.
I ain't talking about no Facebook friend. I said, when you are a friend of God, God will tell you things. I'm coming down. I'm coming to your family. I need you to study. We need to talk about it.
Yes.
There's a report coming up. Somebody's crying out to me about a certain thing. And if nobody intercedes, that's why, who was the prophet that said, was it Isaiah Jesus? He said, the Lord said, I marvel that there are no intercessors. For I intend to do harm, but there's no man to stand in the gap. God marvels. That there was not, God said, I determined to do evil, and I cannot believe nobody will stand in the gap and pray. And help me change my mind. Help me. Let's talk about it. And let me, when God said, I'm going to kill them, I'm going to kill all of them, Moses. You hear the sound? Moses was so caught up in glory. How much time I got? Look, a few more minutes. Moses was so caught up in glory, he's just enjoying Jesus. And God said, there's a sound, there's a noise coming out your camp.
Jesus.
Go down.
My God.
Because I'm going to kill them. If you got Aaron, the high priest, carrying around a golden calf, come on, somebody.
My God.
You worship him. Thank God gave you a break. You and bring you into your next place of blessing. You know where you've been. I didn't worship him.
My God.
God said, there's a noise. Go down. And Moses went down. And he was so angry. Threw the commandments down. And yet he had to intercede because God was going to kill them. Do you hear what I'm saying? The prayers, the effectual fervent prayers of a righteous man, a better person. You have no idea. I don't care if little Nene ain't changing. You keep praying. Little Nene will curse you out. As soon as you have off the floor, Nene call you a curse you out. And that's it, see? I ain't moving. And it got worse. You keep praying.
Because
little Nene may not make it back to church. But God can step in at the moment, little Nene, take her last breath and exact justice on your behalf. God was going down to Sodom and Gomorrah. And he stopped by Abraham's house. God said, I need to talk to the intercessors. Some of you are the intercessors in your family. And that's why people fight you so much, because they want you, the devil wants you to shut your mouth so he can kill your bloodline. Just shut up. Just stop praying. Don't you know they don't like you? Don't you know you irritate them? You get on their nerves, don't you? They don't know about you. You don't look like nobody around here. You don't act like them. Don't know about it. Just stop praying. But God stopped by Abraham's house and said, let's talk. Because in my righteousness, I got to deal with something. I'm a just judge. I have to issue a verdict. But before I do that, come on, somebody. I'm going to give you a chance to testify on behalf of your living. That's the righteousness of God. And so Moses begins to intercede. God, if you find one righteous, if you find 50, we save you.
Yes.
And he went all the way down. I forget the increments, but he went all the way down. He didn't find one.
Yeah.
This one. This one. Yeah. Couldn't find none. Just Lot. And Lot, did he want to go?
He found one. Lot, excuse me, was righteousness. The elder. And God said, I'm going to spare you, but I'm going to destroy the city. Now, you got a choice. If you come home, or I'll see you on the other side of the room. And Lot went and took his time. And the angel said, if you don't come home, because God is on his way, destruction is on the way. And they carried them out, and they told him, do not look back. And his wife looked back. And they said, turn to salt. That means her body was incinerated. And God said, fire. The heat consumed her. She turned to ashes. Understand, coming to a close. I told y'all this was going to be one of those. But there is an accuser, a devil, monitoring your life. Am I saying you got to be perfect? We can't. We are dirt bodies. Miles Monroe said, we are dirt bodies. We going to do some dumb stuff. That's just who we are. Thank God for Jesus.
Yeah.
I think Michelle Henkin was talking about in our teaching a few weeks ago about the sheep. We're the dumbest animals. Dumbest animals. That's why sheep need a shepherd. And then you when you connect with the shepherd tends you and trim your wool back and put some oil on you so you can grow and halfway act like you got some sense. But you need a shepherd. That shepherd will warn you when danger is coming. That shepherd will fight. They got the shepherd's rod to fight. Listen, even if that sheep, that shepherd has to fight you. That little crook in the shepherd's rod is to beat down the fox, but it's also to grab you around your neck and pull you.
But God fought for Moses. Will he fight for us? Is the blood covering your life? Or are we just living? I love Jesus and he loved me. You got to plead the blood of Jesus over your life. You got an adversary out here who's playing for keeps. Don't care about how eloquent your tongues are and how much you can exegete the text and how many people you're running. Do you know how to repent and humble yourself?
Come on.
Can you say, I'm sorry?
Yeah.
For some people, it's the hardest thing in the world. I learned even how to apologize to my children. If I accuse them or if I come at them or whatever, and I say, George, I'm sorry. My kids can tell you, Joy, I'm sorry. Darius, I'm sorry. AJ, I'm sorry. Ashley, honey, I'm sorry. Just learn how to ask God if you're one of those that's got a heart of stone. Ask God, Lord, break this stony heart so I can feel. The Bible says Jesus was touched with the infirmities of the people. He could feel. There's some people so calloused. They can hear a baby cry and sleep all night long.
Oh my God.
Like you don't feel that. They can see somebody crying and somebody hurting and they just walk right past them.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Your heart is too hard.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, you can't identify with people who are hurting. Something is wrong. You can just go home and eat Chinese and watch Netflix and your neighbors next door beat each other half to death and ain't none of my business. And no, it ain't my business. Well, I'm going to say something.
Come on.
Hey, stop. The blood of Jesus, I call it. 911, you know, please on the way.
My God.
Don't let your heart be hard. So I can't nothing move you. Nothing. I'm just... G. I mean, you keep on G-ing. Let us stand. Glory to God. Give God a hand, praise. Jesus.